I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to discuss the kingdom of Antichrist. The kingdom of Antichrist. Now, part of the reason I wanted to talk about this in the program today, I actually started in on this topic when I talked about Brexit and Bible prophecy. Brexit and Bible prophecy, because there are very strong prophetic implications to what's happening there in Europe. Prophecy teachers have been predicting for centuries events in Europe, how they're happening, what's going to happen. All sorts of predictions are made. And in modern times, it has generally been believed that the European Union was going to develop into a globalist one world order, that the European Union would produce the Antichrist. And so this is something that a lot of your dispensationalist teachers have been expecting here. And now if the Brexit vote goes through, although there are people who are opposing it, Great Britain has voted to get out of the European Union, but now you've got other voices that are standing up and saying that this vote is not binding, that the Parliament, British Parliament, doesn't necessarily have to separate from the European Union. Of course, David Cameron gave his word, as I understand it, and the Parliament gave their assurance that whatever the people voted for, they were going to follow through with. But of course, at this point, there's a lot of back and forth discussion as to exactly what they're going to do. It should be interesting to see what happens. But nevertheless, assuming that this goes through, assuming that Great Britain does in fact pull out of the European Union, and then if the EU begins to unravel and completely fall apart, as many people predict that it will, once Britain is out, then France is going to want out, the Netherlands are going to want out, you're going to have one country after another that are going to be checking out of the European Union, never to return. And it's predicted by people like Nigel Farage and others that the whole thing will just collapse. It'll fall to pieces. But of course, it can be said that it's not quite over yet. Those things still have to happen. Those events have to unfold. So we want to be reasonable about it. But right now, it looks like Brexit is fully going to happen. It's been voted on. British people want out. And at the moment, we have every reason to believe that that's what's going to happen. But what will it mean in terms of prophecy? Now, this is where things, to me, get very interesting, brethren, because we have two interpretations of prophecy and the end times. There is the futurist interpretation, which is the one that most prophecy teachers are teaching today. It's what most ministers that I've listened to, as long as I've been a believer, have generally preached. I know only a few who hold to alternative views, and there may be many others out there, but the futurist view, the idea that the world is going to come together into a one-world system, the Antichrist will emerge, the Great Tribulation will happen, etc., that whole scenario, that is one interpretation of end-time prophecy. However, as we've talked about here on the program, your Reformed teachers, many of them, believed that Antichrist was not a figure that they were waiting to arrive. They believe Antichrist had already been manifest in the papacy, that the papacy itself was, in fact, the man of sin of 2 Thessalonians, and that in Matthew 24, when Jesus says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ," that the many were the popes. And each of the popes, claiming to be the vicar of Christ, are effectively claiming to stand in the place of Christ. Hence, each pope says, in a sense, I am Christ, that he stands in the place of Christ. Okay, so based upon this, going all the way back to John Wycliffe, in fact, I first learned this from John Wycliffe, and then found that the Reformers overall, that this is generally what they believed. That they believed when Jesus says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. The many say, I am Christ. And so they believed it pertained to a line of papal kings. So for them, for the Reformers, for the Puritans, the Pilgrims, the kingdom of Antichrist was not a future event that they were waiting to happen. They believed that the papal empire, the Holy Roman Empire, was effectively the kingdom of Antichrist. That's how they saw it. And so when the Puritans came to America, Governor John Winthrop on board the Arbella, which ultimately led to the founding of Massachusetts Bay, the city of Boston, etc. But Governor Winthrop gave as the number one reason for the Puritan migration to the New World to preach the gospel in the New World and to establish a bulwark against the kingdom of Antichrist, which the Jesuits labored to rear up in those parts. You can go look that up. That is generally, that is what Governor Winthrop proclaimed. And that's how the Puritans saw coming to America. They were on the one hand going to preach the gospel of salvation and eternal life, and on the other hand, they were going to oppose the anti-Christian kingdom, because you had Jesuit missionaries in the New World, and they'd been here at that point, I think, for more than 100 years, or about 100 years. I'd have to double check, but the Jesuits had been here prior to the Puritans arriving. And so the Puritans arrive, and now they're going to oppose the kingdom of Antichrist, the papal kingdom, trying to get itself set up in the New World. All right, so they believed that the, well, let's see, let's go over 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go over 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says, let no man deceive you by any means, in verse 3. For that day shall not come, meaning the day of the Lord, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that ye might be, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And of course, the word let there means to hinder, to restrain. He who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Then it goes on, verse 11, and for this cause, now what cause, brethren? The cause of the man of sin, because of this man of sin. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, we look at the world today, brethren. What's going on in the world today? There are many people who are seeking pleasure in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness and ungodliness is abounding in the world. It's abounding. unfortunately, tragically. And there are those, this is where prophecy becomes very interesting, because there are those who believe, well, things are just going to get worse and worse, then Antichrist is going to appear, and there's going to be this one world system, and the whole world is going to be thrown into darkness, etc. That's one view. That's the futurist view. And I admit, that is a view that I accepted and believed for years, brethren. For years. Then, as I was working on A Lamp in the Dark, and I began to study the historicist views and what they argued about the papacy, and then their views of how Antichrist would not be destroyed all at once, but rather that he would be consumed over time by the preaching of the Word of God, that his power would be weakened systematically, and then he would eventually be destroyed. Now, of course, they base that. This is what Martin Luther believed. This is generally what the Reformed teachers believed. They said, well, they looked at in verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8, where it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." So they believed that by preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God, as was done through the Great Reformation, and then as the Holy Roman Empire was basically crumbling and being dismantled, because many of these historically Catholic countries, or countries that had been Catholic at least for centuries, were now turning away from the papacy, and they were embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was dismantling what they saw as the kingdom of Antichrist. And the reason this is important, brethren, is because these events have everything to do with what's going on with the European Union and this Brexit vote. England, that is historically Protestant. Now, of course, they've gotten away from their historic Christian Protestant heritage since the end of World War II. There's been a steady decline over there. I've heard this for years from people who live in that part of the world. But nevertheless, historically, England is an historically Protestant country. And so now they have voted to depart from the European Union. It's a powerful blow, brethren. Now listen, we're coming up on a commercial break. Let's go to our commercial break, and then we're going to talk more about 2 Thessalonians, and then go to Daniel chapter 7 when we come back right after this.
NoiseOfThunderRadio.com. That's NoiseOfThunderRadio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about the kingdom of Antichrist. Now, there's a book I would recommend if you want to read some modern information and argumentation about the European Union as it pertains to Rome in particular, and that would be Adrian Hilton's book, The Principality and Power of Europe. That is a great book. It's pretty concise, but it was actually recommended by political figures in the UK, and the book itself is very insightful, very simple, very straightforward. It's been a number of years since I read it, but it's a great resource to understand what's going on over there with the European Union. And of course, now it looks like that whole thing is getting ready to fall apart. What could this mean? And so here it is, Protestant England, historically Protestant England, once again, because England emerged through the Reformation as the most powerful of the Protestant countries. So much so that Cardinal Manning in the 19th century declared that England herself was the head of Protestantism. That Protestant Christianity, really its headquarters was in the United Kingdom. And that if Protestantism would fall in England, then the rest of the world would simply, it would just be a matter of time before it fell into the hands of Rome. But Protestantism, Rome has always seen Protestantism as her number one enemy, number one opponent, Bible-based Christianity. Bible-based Christianity. Because right now, the Bible, the Holy Scripture, is what prevents these global elitists that all have their links to Rome, the Jesuits, the EU, and this entire globalist scheme. Their great obstacle is the Bible. Because it is the Bible. It's the Word of God. And those who believe it, who are their number one opponents. And so this is why they are fashioning all these different laws, these different standards and so on. They're using all of these anti-Christian ideas. This is what's behind the homosexual movement, the transgender movement, the attempts to promote Islam and elements of Sharia law, and all of these things. They know that these things are the historic opposition to Christianity and the Bible. And so they seem to deliberately target Christian people whenever these issues come up. And of course, they're really fighting against God and against Christ, as we read in Psalm chapter 2. That's what this is about, brethren. That's what this is about. But what I wanted to bring up on the program today is that, you know, we all mostly know the interpretation of prophecy that says the world's going to come together into a one-world system, Antichrist will rule the world, and then there's the Great Tribulation, and Christians are hiding out in caves and this kind of thing. If you believe in the pre-trib rapture, then Christians are either going to be raptured before this happens, or if you believe in a mid-trib or a post-trib rapture, then Christians are hiding out in caves and this kind of thing. Or some people are left behind and then they get saved and then they're hiding out in caves. And there's a number of different variations to the pre, mid, and post arguments. However, the Reformed view was a little bit different. It was a little bit different. They believed that the struggle, that the saints would continue to struggle against Antichrist all the way up until the end. They believed that Antichrist would be losing his power, his power would be diminished and be in the process of being consumed one step at a time until the Lord returns, and then the Lord would utterly destroy the anti-Christian powers. Now, let me read a couple of comments here, commentaries, and this is on Daniel 7, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 26. Daniel 7 and verse 26. Well, let's go back to verse 25, where it's talking about the Fourth World Empire. This is where Daniel has the vision of the four beasts, the four world empires, and so on. And then he is getting the interpretation of these things. And so we read verse 24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Now, there are those who believe that the ten horns are going to be the ten nations of Europe, or so they thought, this European Union. However, if you read J.A. Wiley and his book on the papacy back in the 19th century, he believed that those ten kings were the ten nations that formed Europe to begin with, and that three of them were subdued by the papacy, and he took their crowns, and that this is the reason why the Pope has a triple tiara. The Pope's tiara has three crowns on it. This is according to J.A. Wiley, his assertion. Okay? And you can read his book on the papacy, and he gives you the details of that. Where it says, he shall subdue three kings. Verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Now, those two verses are very controversial. Some believe that, yes, of course, Antichrist, i.e. the papacy, this is the Reformed view, wore out the saints through the time of the Great Inquisition, through the time of persecution and torture and burning at the stake, etc., persecuting those who believe the Bible openly, as the Inquisition used to do. But then when it says, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Let me read you these commentaries here. Here is one from the Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary. And where it says, consume, destroy, a twofold operation. This is according to Jameson Fawcett Brown. And it says, quote, Antichrist is to be gradually consumed as the papacy has been consuming for 400 years past, and especially of late years. He is also to be destroyed suddenly by Christ at his coming, the fully developed man of sin, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, or false prophet making a last desperate effort in confederacy with the beast or secular power of the Roman Empire. Destroyed at Armageddon. Okay? So, they see Antichrist as the papacy in a confederacy with the beast, the secular power of this Roman Empire or the Holy Roman Empire. But notice that Jameson Fawcett Brown is seeing there this consuming. It's like the idea of fire consuming a bundle of wood. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens one step at a time. One step at a time. Could that be what this Brexit decision represents? That here you have the anti-Christian powers in Europe trying to bring all Europe together into unity, but as it says in Daniel chapter 2, they're not going to cleave one to another. They're going to be partly strong, partly broken. And is it because of their resistance to these anti-Christian powers that this attempt at reclaiming the Holy Roman Empire has once again failed, or so it appears right now, and that the powers of Antichrist are being consumed, they're being overthrown, they're being resisted? Is that possible? All right, here's what Gill says, Gill's exposition of the entire Bible, where it says, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. He says, quote, either the angels or rather the saints of the Most High, particularly the Christian princes or leaders, into whose hearts God will put it to hate the whore, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire, so that there shall be an utter end of Antichrist. He shall be stripped of all his power and authority. His destruction will be inevitable and irrecoverable. He shall never come out of it. It shall continue to the end of the world, to the end of time. Interesting. So Gill seems to be taking a similar view that Antichrist will be consumed one step at a time and then ultimately destroyed at the end. Now, I find all of that very, very interesting, brethren. Now, for my own part, where prophecy is concerned, as I've said on the program before, I tend to lean more and more in the historicist direction in terms of understanding prophecy. However, I think it's very important to keep an open mind and that we allow ourselves to be led by God as these events unfold, so that the Lord can reveal these things to us as they're happening and as we need to know them. You know, what do we need to know? How can we be like the sons of Issachar who knew the times and knew what Israel ought to do? How can we know the times and recognize what we ought to do as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ? That's the challenge. And that's the most important thing, brethren. All right, beloved, that is going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.